Have you heard about the new MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle? The MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle is the easiest, most advanced nozzle ever, protecting you from the dangers of diesel exhaust fumes. With its patented flex magnet technology, the Pro Nozzle easily attaches with one hand from a standing position, can snap on from any angle, and fits flush to the apparatus, saving a ton of space. A MagnaGrip is the only exhaust removal system that offers a true 100% seal. For free grant assistance and to learn more, go to MagnaGrip.com.
This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tincata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tincata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tincata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tincata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tincata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TincataFabrics.com.
Hi, Steve Hamilton, Scenes of Violence, live from FDIC 2022, FDIC International. I am with the magnificent specimen of an instructor, Jason Joannidis, and Casual Friday.
Casual Friday.
Yeah. Which is weird because it suits like every day.
Yes.
And then we have Casual Friday.
Yeah.
Which is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
So I'm not huge into the whole.
Tell me about yourself.
I don't do good with the bio thing. So
right.
Tell people who you are. Yeah, I know who you are.
Jason Joannidis.
Wait, don't tell them everything.
Okay. Jason Joannidis from Lexington, South Carolina. I've been in the fire service about 20, 21 years. Majority of the time I've been assigned to a busy ladder company over at the city of Columbia prior to coming over to Lexington County. Love truck work. I've been able to start a required building program in our area, which is actually how Steve and I met. And a lot of the information and research drills is what my workshop is based off of, Proven Truck Tactics. It was taught on Tuesday, and a good crowd. So, yeah.
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Did you fall asleep?
Not at all.
Oh.
Which, because you have proven truck tactics that might surprise you.
Yeah. So you might be surprised.
And if you're surprised, you can't be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Acquired building program.
Yeah.
So we've known each other for better part of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And in the acquired building program
mm-hmm.
is pretty much how we met.
Yeah.
Because we had some buildings on the post. And
yep. Yep.
It's like, can we mess those buildings up?
Absolutely.
Sure. But your acquired building program, the neat thing about it is you could use the buildings for like multi-discipline stuff, but we also set some stuff up for some SWAT SRT training, which acquired building, we're going to tear it down.
Yep.
So you can do lots of stuff like pig blood. You can do simunition rounds. Maybe when SRT SWAT's like, hey, can we blow this door
with C4? Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you say yes, but you didn't like get approvals,
it's still okay.
It's gonna be okay.
It will be okay.
But people get upset.
Yeah.
Like important people get upset.
Yeah.
It's still cool.
Yeah. And then they rip the door off with the Bearcat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fun.
That is a proven truck tactic that might surprise you.
It definitely will.
And the neighbors. And
yep.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
That was a good time. But it's impressive to me, the acquired building program, because at your peak, how many buildings do you have available that you can do training?
We've had, you know, 4, 5, 6 buildings at a time. Actually, right now I have one coming up just outside the county, and then a developer emailed me, actually, believe it or not, about a very large, used to be a barn. It's 400 feet long by 60 feet wide. Yeah, I just got that email, so I got forwarded up. We got
there's a lot of playing.
There's a lot. Yeah. So, and I know about 6 months ago we had a brand new 4-story wood frame hotel with 2 elevators. We actually talking about multi agencies. We involved EMS and let them bring their what's the dummy called? The live light dummy.
The Moulage dummy.
Yes.
The $80,000 squirt blood dummy.
Right. So we actually placed it in an elevator shaft. Our guys went down, brought it up, and then they actually tested their medics on their skills based in the hallway. Forgot about that. That was good.
That might surprise you. That would somebody be interested in taking an $80,000 mannequin and putting it at the bottom of an elevator shaft?
Uh-huh. That's a lot of trust.
That's a whole lot of trust.
It is.
But you guys are growing.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy growing.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny because some of the other municipalities that they're at their max.
Right.
You guys got some acreage.
Oh, yeah.
And when I lived in Lexington 20 years ago, 18 years ago, I remember certain areas of it being pretty rural. And it didn't get over to that side all that much. Go over there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Target, Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely different. You used to drive down and it was nothing but fields. And then you drive down now and it's strip malls and businesses and
housing development.
Oh,
going up.
Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you guys going with all that for you within the department?
Nothing but busier and more positions. We're adding more positions almost every July. More companies coming online. They're planning new firehouses. We're very lucky. It's based off of millage, our budget. So our millage keeps going up as houses and buildings keep getting built, and we are hiring. So
I was about to say, yeah. Shameless recruiting plug.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah. Hiring.
Talk about the elephant in the room. Columbiana Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Harbison Boulevard.
Yep.
Day before Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Made national news.
It did. Yep.
Not a good idea to run through the mall shooting.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So I think the injury count, because it changed a lot over a few days, which is it's typical.
Mm-hmm.
15, I think, is what it rested on in the end. No fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of one 73-year-old patient, no sustained hospital stays.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And you were on duty that day. And disclaimer, you're on duty, but didn't respond.
Correct. Yes.
And I was at my mother's in Myrtle Beach for Easter.
Texting. Yeah.
Calling.
Yeah.
Packing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm on the way. I was talking to a captain from the sheriff's department. And I was like, is it real?
Yeah.
And he texted back, real, suiting up. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. Throwing stuff in the car. I think I'm going to be taking off because these are multi-day.
Oh, yeah.
Events. Yeah. I'm 2 hours away.
But yeah.
Multi-day event. And this pulled in an amount of agencies that boggles the mind because the mall is weird.
Yeah.
Jurisdictionally, why is the mall weird?
So part of the mall is in Lexington County, and part of the mall is actually in Richland County. It's also based within the city of Columbia as well. And they have jurisdiction in some areas too. It's almost split in a triangle per se. So it's definitely an oddball. Everyone knows the South is sometimes a little slower and behind the times. It was about 8 or 9 years ago, we still had the blue laws. where stores wouldn't open till 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday because of the church services.
Yep.
Well, when that was still in effect about 8 or 10 years ago, all these stores, if I remember correctly, all the stores that were in Lexington County, the Belk, the shoe store, all that in the Lexington County side, they would be open all morning on Sunday, but the rest of the mall would be closed.
The line was Dillard's.
Yeah, that's what it was, Dillard's.
The line is Dillard's.
It was one of those buildings. A couple of stores would be open in the morning, and the rest of the stores would be closed to 1 o'clock because the blue laws was a law, I guess, they enacted years ago that would keep all the stores closed until 1 o'clock for church services right. on Sunday.
And no alcohol sales
right.
and
all that. Correct.
Other stuff. Yep.
Now, that's obviously changed.
Exact. Richland County dropped their blue laws, but right. Lexington had kept theirs a little longer.
I think so. Whichever side.
If you needed something from like a men's department store, you had to go to Dillard's on Sunday.
Yes.
And it's the only thing that was open.
Right.
I distinctly remember that. But so that means literally 90% of the brick and mortar part of the mall mm-hmm. is in Lexington County.
Right.
But as you said, it's Columbia PD's jurisdiction because the mall annexed
the city, yes,
into the city. So it's Lexington provides EMS service at a county level.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Columbia provides fire and first response at a city level.
Right.
So you get a Columbia fire truck,
right,
and a Lexington ambulance to the right. mall,
unless it's in the Richland area.
In which that little Dillard's, you'll get a Richland County ambulance and a Columbia fire truck.
Correct.
And outside of that footprint is the mix of Irmo, because it's an Irmo fire district.
Right, right.
So you have Irmo fire district, which is split between the both counties. You got Richland County EMS, Lexington County EMS, Columbia Police Department, Columbia Fire Department, Richland County Sheriff's Department, for the Dillard's,
yep,
and the Lexington County Sheriff's Department all have some type of jurisdiction
authority in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoever has to unpack this in like court,
good luck.
You know, when you bring a suspect in, you have to establish that whatever crime they did occurred within the county's jurisdiction of right. your ability to arrest them. I don't know. Like, was it the city of Columbia? Was it Lexington County?
I think the city has taken over the investigation.
But possibly.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's a good consortium. But you were listening on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I was attempting to listen to the radio on
the scanners.
The radio right. scanner app.
Yeah.
Which is extraordinarily frustrating.
Yep.
Buffering. So we talked a lot.
Yep.
But what's your assessment so far? And it's early.
Right.
I mean, granted, it was 2 weeks ago. It's early for that type of event, for details, for
mm-hmm.
for a lot of stuff. I know some departments are doing some hot washes, and there might be some more
right.
conglomerated formal AARs, as there should be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? And from talking to people, how do you think?
I think. On, and I will just say the fire EMS side, obviously, because we didn't have the encrypted channel for the law enforcement, things like that. Listening to the fire side, and I mean, obviously previously working for the city of Columbia and going through the TECC training and stuff that we've done years ago. Not sure of all the details, but from the radio side, it sounded like they did a jam up job with what they were faced. As we were kind of texting on the phone, they dispatched it out. I believe the city of Columbia's response is pretty much kind of a heavy structure fire response. And I say heavy is a structure fire response. So it's three engines, a ladder, rescue, but then they added an additional ladder and three or four chiefs along with that response.
Right.
So, and I'm sure that's within their policy of an active shooter response. The companies, their specialized companies, do have the ballistics helmets and vests. But I know the initial company coming in, which was Engine 16 off of Harbison, they shut down immediately the oncoming road and set up command away from the mall, and then communicated to all the other responding trucks coming from the other directions to shut down that area, all the incoming traffic. They left the outbound lanes open so that I guess people could get out, obviously. And then they shut down all the incoming lanes and began to stage and do some sort of preliminary recon without kind of getting to that hot zone area before, prior to the PD clearing it, securing the building.
And that's crazy heads up thinking.
Oh, absolutely. Good job.
It's crazy heads up thinking, because a lot of the stuff that I try to talk about in classes is the ancillary impact to your infrastructure outside of the proximal incident scene that you can see and that you can manage. But it relates, traffic being probably one of the number one things, it affects the ingress and egress of your resources and ambulances and the like. And that's crazy heads up thinking to say, let's start controlling some traffic because it's something we can do.
Right.
It's very commonplace, and I don't think it's wrong. It's very commonplace for a dispatch to go out such as that. Maybe not an active shooter, but a shooting with multiple victims.
Right.
After fire gets punched out and after the unit's checking route, what's the next thing that battalion chief asks over the radio that you're guaranteed not to get an answer to?
It's a scene secure.
It's a scene secure.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't know. Where is the command post?
Right.
The law enforcement hasn't set it up yet. Where is staging?
Right.
We're getting better with that.
Yeah.
We're getting better with law enforcement identifying staging. But they'll ask those three questions in the first 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're responding and they're responding. Law enforcement may not even be there yet.
Yeah.
So where is that stuff? And a lot of the fire response is, where do we go?
Yeah.
Or they'll show up and say, hey, you know what? We're going to go to the Best Buy parking lot.
Right.
Or wherever they decide to go. Yeah. And then it's sit and wait. So that's super heads up to just be like, and it's a knowledgeable company, because on a regular day, on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock,
traffic's horrible.
Traffic is ridiculous in Harbison.
Yeah. So they did a jam up job with that.
Yeah. Saturday before Easter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I can't even, I'd be wrong to mention it because kind of skipped over Newberry EMS. Newberry County EMS and Newberry Sheriff's Department
responded to that. Because they weren't sure how many, you know, again, like any active shooter event. And then when it hit, I hate it, when all the social media and the TikTok and the Snapchat videos started going on, people are, you know, 30 dead, everyone, they didn't know. So immediately, and I get on the Lexington EMS channel, I know they were sending multiple units. They contacted, they obviously, Richland and Lexington EMS have buses, you know, the mass casualty buses. And they also initially called the local area hospitals. And they put their protocols into place, ready to receive multiple gunshot injuries, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. They institute their surge plans and whatnot.
Correct.
That's what actually, one of those little social media input, you know, text message, you know, I heard such and such,
right,
which I heard from a credible source who was in the position to know that there had been 7 dead in the food court.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
What it was, how do I break the news to mom that Easter?
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Cause that processing that scene would take days.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy. And you need that presence. But I think it's great. It did go well.
Yeah.
Thankfully we had no fatalities. Mm-hmm. It's since been confirmed with, there were 3 shooters.
Yep.
Trying to shoot one another. Yeah. And basically you have ricochets and background and things like that. All 3 are in custody. All 3 will be prosecuted, face whatever charges they face. But that's real. That's real stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've responded to them all two previous times for active shooters that were not right. active shooters, the balloon pop yep. in the food court. Mm-hmm. And then there was one where
it was outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was yep. And that got garnered initially a similar response, but without going into the details of it, from doing that, they learned a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And this response, where we have 9 people shot, was different. And I think that it had a lot to do
right.
with those previous responses. Correct.
I actually remember, like it was yesterday, the first GSW reported active shooting. It was around Christmas time. And my wife and I and family, we're actually on the way back from the beach. And
something about going
sled,
to the beach.
Sled was hauling past us, and then hearing things, getting on the scanner app. And I'll say this, from that first shooting to listening to one the other day, night and day, like they really stress putting together the multi-area jurisdictional training, county, cities working together. You can tell 100% that they've worked on it.
And
I'm sure there's things they're going to talk about that I don't know, that you don't know, that anyone, you know, there's things but from my listening, it sounded a jam up job. The appropriate response.
Sure. There's nothing's ever perfect.
Right.
There's always lessons learned.
Right.
There's always technology that didn't work the way you thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. There's coordination things. You know, technology not working, like no audio for the first 5 minutes. which has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with the end user, you know.
Right.
It has nothing to do with setting it up, you know, just sometimes things mm-hmm. tweak. I have a high confidence, or I don't have a high confidence, it's absolute certainty. Knowing the organizations and working with them and within them, they'll dive down into it, they'll pick it apart.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's a testament to the fact that that process is obviously occurring.
Right.
Because there's some night and day different stuff.
Right.
So, and there, we obviously, since you worked Lexington, I also worked with the Sheriff's Department. There's, we have more detail, not appropriate to share
right.
in this venue, but even those details, it's not, they'll be celebrated.
Yeah,
they'll be celebrated as wins,
and right.
because they are
right.
So acquired building stuff for this.
Mm-hmm.
You think your phone's going to ring a little bit more with getting people together to do some active shooter stuff?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Especially with some of the buildings we have coming up, I think it sets it up for some good multi-jurisdictional law enforcement training, EMS. I know with us on the Lexington side.
I expect my phone to ring.
Oh, yeah. I know with the Lexington side, I'm sure we're going to be doing we've been lucky for years now. Lexington Sheriff's Department has kind of managed our active shooter training every couple months, bringing in companies to do it, going through things. But I can only see that this is going to continue and maybe change based on what they learned. I don't know.
And when I say I expect my phone to ring,
yeah,
not people to call me, for you to call me and tell me what the date is of the training.
No.
I want to know the date of the training.
Just call Steve.
I think that would be, mm-hmm. I think that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to work together on some of that stuff. I think there's some great opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
So, FDIC 2022. How'd your week go? What are your takeaways? What classes stood out to you?
Well, I think first, you know, if you were kind of unsure about how it was going to be this year, I think they knocked it out of the park for being back. You know,
April absolutely.
2022. You know, we've been on this. Just like Chief Bobby Halton said during the opening ceremonies, really 2 years, 3 years since coming back, like they showed out. I think it was awesome. I think everyone enjoyed themselves, and I think they did a good job.
Yeah, out of just kind of like getting back on the horse.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe that feel of people apprehensiveness or a little,
yeah,
well, I can do that. Or yeah, almost
a little skittish.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Figure.
Yeah.
A little of that, but outside of that ambient, it's like we just hopped over.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, I flew in Sunday and I always, I've been pretty lucky to be able to come in Sunday, and I like to just take the day to walk around the city. And I will say the city looks a little different. Some, obviously, unfortunately, some restaurants have closed because of the past couple of years. But when Monday morning hit, it felt good to be around everyone and everything.
Can we take a moment? Shed a tear for the Claude.
Oh, absolutely. RIP. Yep. Yep. The Irish pub. RIP. Yeah.
The club. I mean, it would be appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. That did make it, though funny, that was always the meeting spot that everyone, because it's a block up the way, it's in the nice area.
Yeah, it was literally the pipe and drums, like staging area.
Right, correct.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
It.
Yeah.
Well, be interesting to see what goes in there.
Oh, absolutely.
But continuing with your week. Your standouts, anything?
Tuesday, popped in a couple different workshops. They were all very good. Very good. All the workshops. Went to Ricky Riley's building apparatus class. Such a knowledgeable guy.
Important thing when you're a growing department.
Oh, yeah. And he's so smart. Yeah. So smart up there in PG. Took a rig crash with I kill his name every time. Brazum from Orlando.
Mm.
Lieutenant Brazum. Awesome proactive rig class. Jonas Smith, fire multifamilies, excellent class.
Oh yeah.
Mark Van Op and I tried to swing in there. He did an excellent job. Tinkered with some of the other notes. Went by Arthur Ashley's class yesterday. He always kills it.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good classes. I did. You always want it to be. You're glad when it's over. You're sad when it's over, but you almost want it to be in a couple more days so you can attend more classes. Because it really is. Even I've been very lucky. This is my sixth or seventh year coming here. And it never gets easier to pick what class to attend. I stopped by your class, your workshop. It was very good.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Well, thank you.
You just need to have a bear cat in there next time. That would be awesome.
Tammy, will you write that down as a note for a sponsor?
Yes.
If this is not my last year for a bear cat to be wheeled into Wabash, too.
That would be awesome.
It would be. So I went to Gustin's newly promoted officer, operations for newly promoted officer, which seems kind of weird because I've been an officer for 15 years. I always go to it because it's recharging. It's energizing.
Right.
It's reinvigorating. Mm-hmm. And Bill is such a dynamic, interactive instructor. It's just being in the room and having him throw stuff up there. And he does a good mix of tactics. He throws a good mix of heads up tactical knowledge for the officer, and along with some firehouse management. But it's good. I went to the Tuesday. I went to this guy's class. Proven truck tactics that might surprise you.
Yeah, it was probably
boring. That was a really, really good class.
That was probably boring.
It wasn't. Which in your class, I remember the one of the takeaways, the 17 different layers of shingles on a house.
Yep.
That you guys went up and did some roof ops with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff in class, the window to door conversion.
Yep.
Power saw, hand tool. And that's where that whole tactics that might surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
What's faster to do a window to door conversion?
Hand tools. Hand tools
is faster than a saw.
Oh, yeah.
So I call BS. How is it not?
It's it ends up being over about, at this point, we're around 300 different experiments. We started the company 75 feet from the objective, and we said, you know, here's the window. We want you to do a, you know, window conversion, window cut down. And we're still around 286, 287. So out of close to 300 evolutions, about 280 of them, the hand tools beat the chainsaws or the rotary saw or some sort of power tool, sawzalls, things like that. Hand tools have always completed it very fastly.
The only reason I threw that question is that is proven.
Right.
Surprise you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you put that together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it speaks to the, it's not opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to how your class is structured. It's not opinion.
Right.
It's okay. This is what this is. The fastest way to do this is with hand tools.
Right.
And people, that will show you how we did it.
Right.
I'll show you the videos of it being done.
Right.
I'll show you the videos of the two companies next to each other doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we actually have a little bit of competitive motivation.
Right.
And 287 out of 300, some odd. It's
right.
Well, yep. There you go. I went to Mastering Fire Ground Command, Calming the Chaos with Anthony Castro's.
I've heard nothing but good things from that.
Have you not gone to that class?
I went to it 2 years ago.
I was about to say.
But I haven't been. I wasn't able to make it.
You write that down because you need to go. Because Chief Castro's is an amazing instructor. Again, somebody who is ridiculously personable, very engaging, and puts things out on a level that is easily understood. He has many layers of comedy
in his
presentations and what he does. And I find it to be extremely educational when he does it. I did aggressive search with Frank Ricci.
Mm-hmm.
It's still about the victim.
Yep.
Frank, very much the way your instructional style you being from the South, it's not as much profanity, needs to bleeps or any of that.
Yeah.
But that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you pictures. I'm going to show you video. And that's what his flow path, victim in the flow path, missing victims, telling stories about departments missing victims. And that being so killing to your culture, your pride, your image, your reputation. Right, right. And how do you come back from that? One of the big things that he said that was very telling to me was, missing a pet on a search, missing a dog. And, you know, not to detract or take away from, you know, what a dog is for somebody. And I love my dogs. And I'm telling you, I'm gonna be wrecked
when
the day comes. But he put it in a different light. And if you miss a dog, what if it was an infant? What if it was a child?
Right.
He's like, you should not miss a pet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're missing a pet,
what else are you missing?
Miss a baby.
Right. Makes sense.
Excellent. And that was it. You could see across the room, which was every single seat filled, people standing along the walls.
Yeah.
You literally could see like the light bulb click, like across, bing, 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 across the room. And there's like, wow, that is such a great example.
Yeah. How about my pet bunny?
Right. Your pet bunny?
Yeah, I mean, it's my kid's bunny, but I feed it and clean it because they don't.
Is it in a cage?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you miss that, well, probably going to miss that.
Yeah.
That's a box.
Yeah.
Right. I went to training network, building a training network that works with McGlenn.
Mm-hmm.
Another ridiculously passionate speaker.
Oh, yeah.
And again, talking about acquired building.
Yes, he said he was going to bring it up.
So how do you build an acquired building program,
right,
which at one point had 100 some odd buildings that were slated, there were approvals and permissions and things like that, but just not all at the same time, but you have 4 to 5 different buildings at a time at its height, all the different kinds of constructions. It's literally like a playground for a training officer
to do
all kinds of stuff. So it's crazy, but that's what Dave talks about. It's like building relationships with people.
That's it. And it's not emails or phone calls. I mean, it might be initially, but I'm a people person. Like, hey, would you like to meet somewhere, grab some coffee or some lunch or whatever, a snack? I don't care. I like meeting them in person and showing them pictures of what we've done to other buildings and how it improves, you know, our internal effects.
I told Dave years ago when he was initially bringing up his discussing trying to build a class and his ideas. And I said, look, the networking stuff that we do, because we have the training network within the Army for Army fire training personnel. That stuff that we do is like a handshake and a smile is all you need to start. And I was in his class and he's going through his thing and he clicks the next slide and it's my picture with that quote. I wanted to crawl under the table. Yeah. I'm like, and he didn't call me out in the room, thankfully, because I'd have been mortified. And one of the last classes I wanted to reference, and this is, I really wish you'd have been able to go to this, high-rise class that Clark Lamping from Clark County, Nevada taught.
Yesterday.
Right. Clark had the Riviera, 700-800 foot high-rise building. Merry Christmas. They burned it. They breached stuff. They rappelled. There's a picture in one of his slides,
man,
of him hanging off the side of the building doing like a selfie.
Yeah.
And just the whole front of the building is wrecked.
Yeah.
And they burned it, like legit burned it.
Right.
Started a fire on the fourth floor.
Mm-hmm.
From go, and tried to figure out the reflex time for the pull the parking brake on the truck.
Right.
By the time they got off the truck, got up to the fourth floor, had the line stretched, water on fire.
Yep.
The fastest that it was done was 17 minutes.
Wow.
You teach truck stuff.
Yeah.
Where you put the truck.
Right.
15 minutes before where you think the fire is going to be. Mm-hmm. How's that work with a 17 minute?
Oh, man. That's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's crazy. And especially the construction, the air vents, just wherever that smoke can go.
And four story.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of jurisdictions, municipalities in America or people who represent here that don't have a four story.
Right. Well, even a three story.
Right.
I mean,
but that's a great example that, hey, we did a four story. Why didn't you do a 15 story?
Well, okay, well,
let's start.
We went to start low. Yeah. Right. It took us 17 minutes for the fourth.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. And the outside cladding. Mm-hmm. On buildings and the fires associated with those. He went over that with great detail because that's happened in Las Vegas a few times now.
Yeah.
But great week, huge knowledge, tons of notes, tons of cards being passed out, networking, hoping to build upon that. And encouraging, I've encouraged others to put in submissions and come out and teach.
Oh, absolutely.
You got personnel within your department that I probably have great talent that needs to be here.
Yeah.
So outside of that, for those who are watching, if you have knowledge to share, this is the place to share.
Absolutely.
This is absolutely the place to share.
Right.
And the door is open
to
put in your submissions. Submissions are open now.
Are they?
Yep. Submissions are open.
And it really doesn't take very long. It's, you know, there's a little details, methodology, plan, stuff like that. But what's the worst they're going to say? No, if you don't.
Exactly.
Or you keep doing it. I'll tell you right now, I was denied 2-3 years in a row. And I'm very humbled and honored to be able to come here and teach. Even it is nerve wracking sometimes for the instructors just because of the stage that we're on. But it is amazing walking down the halls and seeing some of the guys that you've heard talked, you saw in magazines when you're coming up, and you can just sit and talk to them for a minute, grab some coffee, and that's it. Like, and it's no big deal.
Hey, the teaching doesn't stop.
Right.
You know, one of the greatest places to be for as an instructor is that speaker room.
Yeah, for sure. Well, even last night at one of the festivities we were at, the block party, we were talking about predetermined assignments. 8 o'clock at night, we were talking about predetermined assignments.
Which block party was that?
That MSA block party.
Oh, I didn't go. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I was walking through because it's free. It was free after 7:30. And I was walking through, and a couple guys stopped me and said, "Hey, well, we had someone in your class, really enjoyed it. What about predetermined assignments?" And stood there for 20 minutes talking about predetermined assignments, how they do it, how I do it. And I'm not my way's right. No, your way might not be right, but a whole different.
It's the spark.
Yeah. It's nice to come here and very like-minded people. And, and again, it just reaffirms your organization isn't the only one. You know, everyone has problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the encouragement is get here.
Yeah.
And
yeah, put in.
The other piece of that is write an article.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So you first couple of years, hey, no, you didn't get it. Then you wrote an article.
Yep.
What happened after that?
Picked up for another article.
Yep.
I picked up again.
Write an article.
Yep.
Write an article about your class and then do class submissions.
Yeah.
It's advertising yourself a little more.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's showing that there's an important topic if it gets to print. So that's great. I think that's about it. We'll wrap it up. We're gonna end the show in a special way this time. And we'll have to try to not get emotional, but Officer Drew Barr was laid to rest yesterday. Casey, South Carolina, police officer, shot and killed responding to a domestic call. And the outpouring of support for that.
Oh, yeah.
Chief Chris Cowan posted a long post on Facebook, and it brings a tear to your eye. And it's a difficult place that we happen to be in right now as a society. And if it's good with you, just like to take a moment of silence, dead airspace, and to think about that. So we'll, Tammy, if you mark us about 15 seconds, we're going to have a moment of silence for Officer Drew Barr. Okay.
Thank you.
Live from FDIC.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you guys next year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.